Welcome to the Banking with Life podcast. This is our Q&A series where I answer your questions regarding the infinite banking concept, becoming your own banker. Let's get started. In this question, you know, this question is a very common question. It's a perennial question. It reoccurs very often. So I'm going to leave out the life insurance companies' names because I don't promote life insurance companies individually. I promote the idea that you can become your own banker and control the banking function at the you and me level with mutual life insurance companies. Yes, I have a preference. I think some are better than others when it comes to the application and practice of the infinite banking concept. But at the end of the day, all right, at the end of the day, the financial collapse, right, which I don't believe is going to occur, but the last entity standing or mutual life insurance companies are going to be among them. All right. So I want that to be crystal clear that I don't promote individual life insurance companies. We have in my office preferences on what companies we own and encourage people to consider. And we have reasons, legitimate reasons that can be demonstrated and articulated as to why one may choose a particular company over another. Okay. When it comes to the infinite banking concept, this question, this particular company has an 8% loan rate. It's a statement that they're making. Does doing the infinite banking concept still work? Question mark. I have a prospect with a 38-year-old policy with $110,000 in cash value, $310,000 in death benefit. The premium is $1,000 a year. And they know basically nothing about that particular company. And the reason it's here, you know, obviously they're an agent. And they mention a mutual life insurance company. And just let me say that, you know, a life insurance policy is a contract, right? And the owner has all the rights and privileges that are spelled out in that contract. And with a mutual company and you have a PUA rider and a base whole life policy, you have some contractual rights to that. One of them, every life insurance company that has an accumulation value, even the index universal life, the variable universal life, they all have loan provisions, which is a provision of the contract, and the owner has rights to exercise the rights in the loan provision. So the infinite banking concept is not really a product or a company at all. It is a process. So the short answer here is yes, of course it doesn't, you know, does it, in my humble opinion, does the loan rate matter? Yes, but to a certain and limited extent, that may be considered a high loan interest rate. But that company also pays a very old company, over 100 years old, has and does pay a very competitive, reasonable, legitimate dividend interest rate as well. Okay. So here being an agent, you know, getting caught up in the weeds, and I know people have accused me of getting into the weeds when I try to bring clarity and understanding with dividends, loan interest rates, and those kinds of things, direct and non-direct. And, you know, the pushback that I typically get is from agents. and God bless them. It makes me realize Nelson's statement is true in many applications, and many of his statements are. And the one that comes to my mind is most people's understanding of life insurance is based on someone else's misconception. That applies within the Infinite Banking footprint. And here's a great example of that, in my humble opinion. And so I'm not beating him up, the company, or anything. I just want to make a point that the loan interest rate almost doesn't matter if you want to control the banking function as it relates to you, right? That particular loan interest rate at 8 may be high in somebody's mind, but go down to the bank and get a loan and ask, see what interest rate they're going to charge you. And they are going to charge you, and they are going to control the loan, the collateral, the repayment schedule. It's controlling the banking function. The infinite banking concept is what that delivers. Okay, but then I think there's some real points here that are jumped smooth over. So I'll go back to the statement and the question. Is the 8% loan interest rate, does that, the IBC, the infinite banking concept, still work? Yes. The infinite banking concept is not dependent upon rates at all. Interest rates, loan rates, dividend rates. There's no dependency. It's not about rates. It's not about rates. But then they continue. I have a prospect. That, so you know they're a salesman, right, or a marketer or whatever. That's a 38-year-old policy with $110,000 in cash value and a $310,000 death benefit. The premium is $1,000 a year. So are you telling me this individual's paid in $38,000 over a 38-year time period and has access to $110,000? And maybe they didn't do any financing, quote unquote, for that whole 38 years. They were just paying a premium. They just wanted permanent death benefit. God bless them. That's legitimate. But I promise you, over 38 years, they financed cars, vacations, medical expenses, dental expenses. Did I mention education? All of these things that they were financing anyway. And then I don't know how old they were when they purchased the policy 38 years ago, but they're creeping up on quote unquote retirement, and that retirement income is financed as well. It's just, it's beyond me. I shouldn't be overly surprised. But if you're an agent, an advisor, I mean, you should know these questions. You know, you should do better. Okay. I mean, that's all I'm really going to say about that is, yes, the infinite banking concept works, quote unquote works, regardless of the loan interest rate, regardless of the dividend. And that company, like I said, pays a fair dividend, right? And they happen to be a direct recognition company. Right, they're going to reduce the dividend when there's an outstanding loan at 8%. 38 years, $1,000 a year, $110,000 in cash value. I'm like, my gosh, if you can't get them to purchase another policy, if that's your goal, I will buy that policy if they want to get rid of it. It's like, my goodness. Okay, I'll take a deep breath and continue. And this comment is on the episode. It's a short fractional reserve banking. So it's a short, so it doesn't have an episode number. Okay. James, can you or someone explain how the, oh, there's a lot of questions coming on this. So I have several questions from several different videos and shorts. This is on a short concerning this kind of topic. James, can you or someone explain how infinite banking solves for fractional banking? Question mark. Isn't fractional banking a curse on the entire monetary system? Well, yes, I totally and completely agree with you, sir. It is a curse. We have the Babylonian banking system. There's no question about it. Okay. For which even life insurers need to participate in. comma, given insurance claims are paid in U.S. dollars, I've never needed this argument to convince me to use the infinite banking concept, but I'm curious on the details of the argument as it seems to be so often repeated. That's a very fair question. It's perennial too. It comes up quite often, you know, and let me say this, that the fractional banking system that we all enjoy around the world, except for those three or four countries that don't have a fractional, you know, Rothschild bank in them yet. I should probably edit some of this out. Okay. You know, it's evil, right? You deposit money, and the whole premise is based on greed, theft, and just almost hate for your fellow man. You would not do this to someone if you love them, right? Okay, so we make a deposit into a bank, and the premise is not everybody's going to make all the withdrawals in the bank at one time. Oh, just go look at the silver situation around the world today. Paper calls on ounces of silver. Okay, same thing going in a different market. Okay, I digress. On a deposit, the banks, it's predicated on the idea that not everyone is going to come make a withdrawal at one time. So while I'm holding that money in our fractional reserve banking system, you know, talked about it many times, that they can inflate, they can create money out of thin air based on their reserves, fractional reserve system. And I've made the point, and it still exists today, there are no reserves required. There's no limit on what they can inflate to. Right. If there's no reserve required and I make a deposit, you know, they can just print money out of thin air that didn't exist because not everybody's going to come at one time and withdraw their money. Right. And the and when it comes to the you and me level of banking and the fractional reserve banking, that money that they lend didn't exist until I signed my name and I made my commitment backed up by my collateral and future production to repay that loan. Right. Then they create money that didn't exist. That's a fractional reserve system. I mean, that's how it works. Is it evil? Yes, it's evil. And so if round out the question, as I understand it's being asked, you know, how does this solve that? It does not solve the infinite banking concept, cannot solve the fractional reserve system. That's a blight on mankind and humanity, you know, men, the human beings that are doing this and it created that, you know, that's a way above my pay grade and it won't cease in this lifetime, in my opinion, right? So the infinite banking concept cannot solve that on a worldwide state, country, city basis, but it can address some of the effects that it has on us as individuals at the you and me level. Okay, so yes, you send a check, the premium in the form of a check or wire transfer or what have you to the life insurance company. They use banks. So that money's going to be in the bank, right? Those values are going to transfer from me to them, and then they're going to take those values and go invest them to meet all the future obligations of a life insurance contract. So the infinite banking concept, in short, cannot solve the fractional reserve banking system. Only death of the fractional reserve banking system can solve that. All right, and no apologies for what I'm saying. So, now, if I am not dependent, me at the you and me level, me personally, if I'm not dependent on the banking system, then I'm not participating in that system to the level that I would otherwise be participating in it. You know, yes, I have to deposit money into a bank before I transfer it, you know, to the life insurance company. You do too. The life insurance company uses a bank, and there's no question about that, right? And how long does it sit in that bank and how much can they inflate that? I don't know. You don't know either, but it's a lot. But the life insurance company cannot inflate. When they receive those values and somebody takes or requests a loan against their policy values, they can't inflate. They do have a requirement. They can't have any more in cash value loan available than they have in cash or cash equivalents. I know that's maybe overly simplified, but it's a fact. So if I borrow $100,000 from the life insurance company, they have to have $100,000, not $10,000, not $1,000. They have to have $100,000, so they cannot inflate. So if I'm doing business over here and I'm not doing business over there, at least I'm not feeding that giant over there, the black hole, and it's really a black hole. You know, a black hole sucks in everything and will ultimately self-destruct. That's a black hole, okay? And I don't have to participate in that black hole if I'm controlling the banking function with the infinite banking concept, all right? Okay, I hope that helps. And at the end of the day, you know, the infinite banking concept is a mechanism that I can use, you can use, to control the banking function at the you and me level, right? And it's really not my job. I'm not called to solve all that. You know, if I could solve it, they would kill me. If you could solve it, they would kill you or unalive you, right? I don't know what the algorithms allow or don't allow. I don't really care. Episode 245, How Free Do You Want to Be? Man, that's a great title. I love that. You know, and you know, Nelson quotes in his book, part of the scriptures, say, would you be healed? Okay, great podcast. I'm a big fan of IBC. Here's a question I've been thinking about. Maybe you could share your thoughts on it. You say, if we bank with a conventional bank or conventional banks, we're contributing to the business cycle of on an individual level, which would lead the consumer to think that, quote unquote, banking with an insurance company doesn't contribute to the business cycle. Well, I don't know what people think, and I'm not trying to lead anybody into a particular thought other than that you can control the banking function at the you and me level. But your premium dollars that go to an insurance company still end up in commercial banks regardless. The insurance company all have bank accounts, and just because you personally aren't depositing the money into a conventional bank doesn't negate the outcome that you're attempting to avoid. Is there a way to actually avoid contributing in today's world? No, I don't think so. I think I just addressed that on the previous question. They go on. Unfortunately, in today's world, I don't think it's impossible to avoid contributing to the commercial banking system. Every dollar always ends up in the commercial banking system, regardless of where you spend it, save it, or invest it. I agree with you. If it doesn't end up there, it passes through there, right? It doesn't always end up there because I can go buy raw land, right? And so did that money to go to somebody else's bank? Yeah, but how long did it stay there? And then it went somewhere else. So, you know, the inflation is incredible, right? Because just in my little example, if I take $100,000 and I have it in my bank, I go spend it on land, you know, that's where my $100,000 went, right? But that $100,000, no, it went to somebody else's bank. And then they're going to buy something else, and it's going to go to somebody else's bank. And then they're going to buy something else, and it's going to go to someone else's bank. And then it's going to be taxed all along the way, and it's going to the state government's bank. So I totally get it. I mean, I understand, I believe, the questions and the concerns. I can't correct all that. It's a job enough for the individual to even control the banking function as it relates to them. So I would love to be able to solve all the world's problems. I cannot, right? And if I did, they would kill me. Like, they would unalive me. They would crucify me. How's that? Right down to me. What am I doing in my household? You know, the economics of my household, right? The economics of my business, right? I'm my hands full controlling the banking function that's required in my household, in our business, at the individual level. That's where I'm at, and that's where I want to be, and that's where I think the most work can be done, the best work can be done, right? And so that's why I'm here doing what I do. And I love the word economics, order in the home, right? The management of a household, that's what I'm focused on, the economics, which include banking in my household. I can't, you know, take care of all of the other stuff, right? I mean, that's totally what Joseph was up to in Pharaoh's house. Right. This comment is, again, how free do you want to be? Episode 245. And I believe this individual was answering the previous individual. You know, from my perspective, the action of paying the premium cannot be avoided and is similar to depositing money. So it does not contribute similarly in the same or similarly to the issue when the premium enters a financial system through the depositing of money by the insurance company. However, the real difference is on the borrowing end of the system of being your own banker. When you take a loan against your cash value at the insurance company, real dollars come out of the system and come to you. If you were to borrow the money from a traditional lending institution, it would be created, quote unquote, money. The two systems differ in this specific area, mainly at the point of using your capital without increasing the money supply. That's how I understand it anyway. And I think this is Jeremy. Jeremy, you got a great understanding of that, and it's well written. I probably just, you know, should leave that question, you answering that previous question alone. And then the disclosure, I love that, and I appreciate that, and I respect it as well. I am a participant in this system, but not an agent. Just my views. I appreciate you sharing, Jeremy. I appreciate all the questions, all the responses, and the opportunity to, you know, throw my two cents in. Again, episode 245, how free do you want to be? When you collateralize your cash value from your premiums, And I think this is another comment to the original question. When you collateralize your cash value, then your premiums aren't being parked at the bank. You are earning the return for the life insurance company. So that's fair. You know, when I borrow against the cash values, those cash values never leave the policy, right? They're still doing what the insurance company is doing with them, those values, bonds, real estate, corporate bonds, government bonds, all of that stuff. I'm just collateralizing that, right? It's not coming out of my policy, right? It's coming out of the general revenue fund of the company that was probably sitting in a bank, right? Comes to me, goes to my bank, and then I do with it whatever I do with it. You know, maybe I buy a car again as another example. I pay cash for the car because I borrowed money from the life insurance company, collateralizing my policy. You know, so it goes from their bank to my bank to their bank, and then it's going to go from their bank to somebody else's bank because the automobile dealer has to, you know, pay all the employees. All that goes to the employees' banks. They have to buy parts. It goes to the parts manufacturer and deliver, and the, you know, so can't get around the banking system. You know, banking is eternal, right? I don't think we're going to ever end the Federal Reserve or the fractional reserve banking system in this lifetime. All right. I think it will be ended. You know, I get it. Andrew Jackson got close. God bless him. Okay. And it was temporary. All right. Okay. And then the loan is an absolute return to the life insurance company because I'm paying interest on it. And oh, by golly, do I want to pay interest to a company that I have an ownership position in? And do I want that company to be profitable? Yes, yes, indeed. I just don't want to pay an egregious interest rate, right? Unless it directly profits me. Oh, my goodness, it does. Indirectly, directly. Okay, that's a whole nother concept and idea. Okay. This comment, again, on the same episode 245, how free do you want to be? A comment on the original question. A deposit doesn't increase the quantity of money. I'm assuming the premium to the life insurance company doesn't increase the quantity of the money. Well, I don't really know. That's a statement. Complete stop sentence. A deposit doesn't increase the quantity of money. Okay. Taking a loan from the company that is allowed to loan money, that doesn't exist is what causes the business cycle. Okay, I get what you're saying. So the deposit's not what creates the money. It's a loan that creates the money that doesn't exist. Yeah, I agree with you, sir, man, individual. Okay. Thank you for listening. If you have a question that you would like answered, email me at james@bankingwithlife.com. Thank you for listening. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time.